Today, North Korea declared it would quarantine foreigners for 21 days because of Ebola fears. And earlier this week, a crew dressed in full hazmat gear greeted Japanese government officials arriving at the North Korean capital, Pyongyang, in hazmat suits. Odd, since North Korea is so isolated and authorities have been trying to increase tourism. Eric Talmadge is Pyongyang bureau chief for the AP. He recently got permission for a road trip outside of the capital, and we want to hear about that. But Eric, you're in Tokyo now, so you got out of North Korea before this quarantine. But hazmat suits, really? Officials there, are that afraid?
Well, yeah, it was really quite surprising. When the Japanese delegation came, it was a government delegation. It was a very high-level delegation. And when we were waiting for them to come out of the terminal, we noticed there was an ambulance parked in the parking lot and two men in full hazmat suits waiting for the delegation to come out. Now, that was a big surprise for me when I saw that. I'd never seen anything like that at the airport. And in fact, I think it might be the first time I've ever even seen an ambulance in Pyongyang.
Well, this is happening as the country is looking for tourists and visitors to come. So you were granted this unprecedented trip to go see some of the new tourist places that are set up. Does North Korea really think that there will be an influx of tourists when they've imprisoned Americans who came to the country? I mean, it doesn't seem very welcoming.
Well, you have to think of it more on the North Korean terms and what their priorities are. What they're hoping to do mostly is to increase the number of tourists coming from China. Of course, they are trying to increase tourists from Europe and from the United States and from other places. Of course, when you're looking at it from the American perspective, where you have tourists being arrested for alleged crimes and the various restrictions that are still in place on foreigners traveling to the North, it does seem rather contradictory.
Yeah. Well, tell us about what the country wants them to see. You write about leaving Pyongyang with, you know, more sophisticated dressed women clutching smartphones which aren't connected to the web and can't make or receive international calls, but there's more of a sophistication. And you make your way out into the country where passenger cars are so rare that when you passed police, they assumed you were important and saluted you. Tell us a little bit about what you saw out in the country.
When you leave the city, it's almost immediate, the change. You go into a very rural setting very quickly. The road situations they're much more bumpy. It's a bumpier ride. And then, of course, when you get farther into the inland, you're more on dirt roads or partially paved roads. And Pyongyang, I think this is surprising to many people, but Pyongyang is actually a fairly impressive city. It's particularly by developing world standards. It's full of high-rise buildings. There's many monuments. It's quite orderly, quite clean. And when you get out into the countryside, you're getting more of a view of the rural lifestyle where people are working very hard on the farms. North Korea is a very mountainous country, so producing enough food to feed all of the nation is an eternal challenge. They're working every possible piece of land to try to produce something out of it.
You describe villagers washing clothes in rivers, everybody wearing the same sort of olive green work suit with rubber boots. And describe the posters that you see.
One of the things that struck me as really singular about the North Korean countryside is when you're driving through the country, you're just constantly seeing signs with slogans from the party. One of the most popular is single-minded unity, which is kind of the motto of the North Korean government. And then things like, we are a great spacefaring nation, long live the military first policy. And then a lot of signs kind of hailing workers who have achieved their quotas.
Here's one you saw. Congratulations to Chung Young-Too, head of Work Unit 1, for taking the lead in weeding our fields.
Yes. And then posters with graphs showing, you know, what percentage of their expected yield they'd actually achieved. And the graphs seem to always go in an upward line.
Well, it's funny. I was chuckling over one of my favorites that you saw. Our country is the best. And then I thought, well, you know, you could drive across the U.S. and see U.S. number one. You know, you could see those things here.
Yeah.
But this is obviously so different. You write about every home, and we knew this, has a picture of the Kim Il-sung and Kim Jong-il in the home. And every adult wears a picture over their heart. But tell us about this new idea of building these tourist areas. What are they?
Well, there's a number of tourist areas. I mean, North Korea has experimented with the idea of increasing the tourist trade for quite a long time, actually. A lot of the places that they try to bring tourists to are natural attractions. Like I said, North Korea is a very mountainous country, and the mountain scenery is actually quite beautiful. It's largely untouched. The seasons are very well defined, so the autumn is quite beautiful. There's some very nice beaches in North Korea, and actually from this year they opened up a new luxury ski resort. I've actually been there and skied, and it was a very nice resort.
Well, on this road trip, you go to Mount Paektu, which has a beautiful crater lake, one of the places the North wants to promote. But, you know, you talk about your hotel room, cold shower and a broiling hot room, and you see people across the way in an apartment building. They have no electricity or don't seem to.
Right. Your room would be fine. You'd have heat. You'd have power. You'd even have a television that would work, but you could look across the street into almost complete darkness. And sometimes the lights would just suddenly come on later, and you'd see the apartment next door is, you know, lit up quite brightly. So it was quite a contrast.
Yeah, but you also write that during a hike late at night, you got to feel what satellite images have shown, how dark North Korea can be.
Right, that was one of the more impressive things for us. When we were very close to Mount Paektu, we went before dawn because we wanted to see the sunrise on the top of the mountain. You know, driving up the side of a mountain and it's pitch black. It was raining very hard, actually. And the feeling of being in that darkness where the only light is the headlights of your own car, it's something that you feel kind of viscerally, just the darkness of the night.
Yeah. Metaphor, you know, for the darkness and reclusiveness of the country. And you had wranglers the whole time. You had a pit stop at one point. You were right near North Koreans, but they don't make eye contact with you. They're not allowed. So it's not like you're going to have that kind of a cultural experience. But I'm wondering, do you think that people should consider whether or not they want to support a repressive regime? Wouldn't you be doing that if you took one of these trips?
Well, I think it's up to each person. You know, giving the North Koreans the opportunity to see us is also, you know, there could be some benefit in that as well.
Yeah. That's Eric Talmadge, Pyongyang bureau chief for the Associated Press in North Korea, telling us about fascinating insight he has into the country. Eric, thank you so much.
Okay, thank you. It's my pleasure.
So, question for you. Would you want to go? Do you feel you'd be influencing North Koreans who might see you or supporting the regime that represses them if you take a tourist trip to North Korea? Let us know at hereandnow.org. You're listening to Here and Now.